It's good to see everybody this morning. God is good, amen? All the time. And he's even better than what we have seen and known yet. We got to keep tasting of him, amen? Because the Bible says, oh, taste and see that the Lord, he is good. Last week we did, I called it The Truth Part 2 with, I guess it's called a subtitle, Leadership of the Holy Ghost, and we went over some stuff last week, and I want to recap just a little bit, and then we're going to get into actually what I believe the Lord wants us to get into today, and it's still going to be the truth, but it's going to be part three, and it's titled His Will. But we looked at some scriptures. We're not going to go back and read them, but it was over in Luke 10, verses 1 through 11, that Jesus went and he gave the 70 power and authority, right? And he sent them out two by two. He said, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers. And he told them, don't take any purse or script or extra coats, tunics or anything with you, right? Remember all of that? Well, then in, let's see what. I think it was Matthew 10, verses 1 through 10, it was where he called the apostles, the 12. Called them by name, right? Went and gathered them up. He did the same thing to them. He did them first before he did the 70. He gave them power and authority, right? He sent them out to cleanse the lepers, heal the sick. But the first thing that he told them was to preach the gospel, that the kingdom of God is at hand, right? And to do all that, and he told them also, he said, don't take any purse, money bag, or extra tunic, extra clothes, or anything, you know. Why? He's trying to teach them something. I thought about something this morning that some people say, that that scripture over there in, I believe it's 1 Corinthians 8, could be 2nd, but I think it's 1 Corinthians, where it says, Jesus took upon himself poverty that we might be made rich. And they'll use that and they'll say spiritual poverty. Tell me what chapter and verse, two times, that Jesus was ever spiritually in poverty. The verses I read, he walked and he talked with his Father and he had power and he had authority and he lacked absolutely nothing. Right? Well, those verses that he told the disciples, which actually ended up to be 82, 83 counting himself, and he told them, don't take anything extra for you. Why? He's showing them the Father will supply for you. Jesus didn't have a job after he started his ministry. The disciples left their jobs. How did they make it? I mean, you got people following you. You got at least 83 people counting you yourself, and there was more than that. But just say 83 people that wants to eat 2 to 3 times a day, not including any kind of snacks or anything like that, you know, for 3.5 years. What do you do? Well, when you read the Bible, there was one woman, her name was Joanna. Y'all remember her? The Bible says she supplied into Jesus' ministry her finances. She was a very wealthy woman. Then it goes on and it names a couple other ones by names. Then it says many women supplied finances and different things into the ministry of Jesus. See, I told you last week, God never intended. When you go out here and join the Army, the Navy, I mean, you join the Navy, they don't expect you to supply your own ship, submarine. That's crazy. Nobody would sign up, I seriously doubt. You join the Air Force. They don't expect you to supply F-16s or whatever you call those, right? Then why is it when it comes to the kingdom of God, and scripture after scripture, God says he will supply, why is it that you have people that will fight you to stay broke? Because you have believed a lie somewhere of the devil. But yet you'll get up and you'll go to work every day. Ask for it. Oh, come on now. If you live what you say you believe, why do you go to work? Because money don't appear out of thin air. I thought you're supposed to be in poverty. Why don't you walk? Why don't you do like Jesus? Gives you a donkey. Be like Jesus. Y'all way too quiet. See, if we're going to be like Jesus, get you a donkey. Ride your donkey everywhere that you go. God forbid that you would have a car. See, if you think about some of the things people say that are truth, and you'd be thinking line with the scriptures, it'd be like, ping, that's absolutely not true. And how many knows wherever we believe a lie, we're going to be bound? Wherever Jesus said, if you continue in my word, so shall you be my disciples, and you shall know the truth. And the truth is going to bind you up. What did he say? It's going to make you free. So what's that mean? We want to know the truth everywhere, everything, in every area of our lives. Right? So he told them to go and do that and everything. And then we started talking about, Beth put up, let's see which one it is. John 5, 1 through 9. I'm going to read it from the screen there. That way, because I don't want to take time to turn over there and read it and all that. It says, after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now, remember we talked about last week, how we talked about the truth, but leadership of the Holy Spirit. How many knows? Jesus said, I only do what I see my Father do. When did he see the Father do it? Where did he see the Father do it? In here. Right? Because God's not on the earth doing things. Right? But he had the Holy Spirit on the inside of him, right? So he says, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these have a great multitude. Now some say a multitude is 4,000 to 5,000 people, right? It says here a great multitude, so possibly more than that. Of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season in the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there. No, that's one man, right? Specific man. Which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case. How'd Jesus know that? It don't say he knew it for 38 years. He just knew he'd had it for a long time, right? It's called the word of knowledge. 1 Corinthians 12. Jesus operated in the fullness of the gifts of the Spirit at all times. It's the only way he could have done it. The only way he could have known it. He goes on and it says that he knew that he had been there now a long time. In that case, he saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole? Jesus didn't have a conversation with everybody that he healed. If he had one, that tells me he was led in what he said to him. Now, you know, sometimes you need a conversation. Sometimes you need, when you feel prompted or confident that you're supposed to, people need their faith built, raised up a little bit, encouraged. It says, the impotent man answered him, sir, I have no man. When the water is troubled, to put me in the pool, but while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed, and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. Why did Jesus do that? Help us, Lord, give us light. Jesus said, I only say what I hear my Father say. I only do what I see my Father do. There is a great multitude of people in this Bethesda. Right? That's what the Bible says. Jesus goes to one certain man out of that great multitude. Why? That is the only one that the Spirit of God pointed out for him to go to. See, when you teach and minister the things that we do here and the things that I have been for the last few weeks or whatever, people that don't understand, they'll say, well, if you have faith like that, or if you can do that, or why don't you go and empty out the hospitals? How come Kenneth Hagin didn't empty out the hospitals? How come Lester Summerall didn't empty out the hospitals? How come Smith Wigglesworth didn't empty out the hospitals that has 17 to 19 documented cases of raising the dead? One of them was in the funeral home in the coffin. Why didn't they go into the hospitals and heal everybody there if they had this power? You are not the source of this power. I am not the source of this power. Jesus said, if you abide in the vine, my Father is the husband, right? Jesus said, I am the vine. If you abide in me, the branch cannot bear fruit. I am a branch. When you look at an apple tree and you see the branches, are they the source of anything that's out there? Are they the source of the leaves? Are they the source of the fruit? Where is it? Who is the root? He said, my Father is the husbandman. He said, I am the vine. He said, but you are the branches. He said, apart from me, you can do what? If he don't tell us what to do, what can you do? Nothing. That's a lot of reason why a lot of people have spoken, nothing has happened. Been there, done that myself. God wants that to stop. Why? It hurts your faith and it hurts other people's faith. Let's go on, Beth, too. I think I want to go to, let's see, right. John 9, 6 through 7. We read this last week. It says, now Jesus went to this man, he's blind. It says, and when he had thus spoken, he spit, we would say spit, they say spat, on the ground and made clay of the spittle. So he got some dirt, right? He said, and he anointed, which means he put it on, the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam. He's giving him instructions. Sometimes things is not instantaneous. You got some instructions to go along with your faith and the word of the Lord, right? He says, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and was washed, and what? He came back seeing. Why did Jesus do that? Oh, Jesus' spit is anointed. Are you serious? Spit is spit. I don't care who it comes out of. Dirt is dirt. Right? Why would he do this? There's no healing power in his spit. There's no healing power in the dirt. There's no healing power in this anointing oil. I'm reminded, y'all, most of you probably have heard the story, how Scotty, he gets born again. He gets up, he's in the bedroom, gets up, goes over there. He feels inspired. He don't know nothing. He's dumb as dirt. He's Bible illiterate. He's Holy Ghost-led illiterate. He just got born again minutes ago, and everything he thought he knew about the Bible was wrong. We found out later. He gets born again. He goes in there in the living room, and he just feels strongly urged. Do you hear a voice? Strongly urged. We would call it prompted by the Spirit, right? To turn on the TV, turn on preaching. He turns on the TV, turns on preaching. The first words the guy says, get you some anointing oil, anoint your house. And he thinks to himself, I told you he's Bible illiterate. What's anointing oil? You don't have to. Know him. He thinks, what is anointing oil? Well, the guy goes on in the story and he says, ah, just get you some Crisco. And he's like, hey, we got Crisco. He goes in there in the kitchen, he gets him some Crisco, and he anoints everything, Johnny. I'm not kidding. Now, I have left him, but I'm bringing Travis that morning because I got to go to work, and he's going to keep Travis for the day. It's the only reason I'm over there. Well, when I knock on the door and I go to open the door, the doorknob's greased up. I got to go to the bathroom. I go to the bathroom, I got to get the hand. I'm telling you, I can see it right now. I flush the toilet. The toilet handle is greasy. And I said, what the blankety blank blank is this blank? I thought, what the crap is this? He don't say nothing about what it is, Johnny. Well, neither, everything I touched in there nearly was oiled up. There's something wrong over here. Just blankety blank. I'm getting out of here. 2 weeks later, Johnny, I get born again. 2 weeks. At the word of the Lord, God told him, if you'll serve me, I'll save your whole house. Took 2 weeks for me to get born again. That was the word of the Lord, Johnny, that come to him, and he don't know nothing. But now the Spirit of God, the Bible says you get born again, that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead comes and he dwells in you. Jesus said he'll lead you and he'll guide you into all truth. He's your helper. He's your paraclete. He ain't even been to church yet. He ain't baptized in water. But he knows God. Well, God knows him. He don't know God yet. But God's living and the Holy Ghost is living in his spirit. And now he's beginning to, he does every Christian the exact same way. Maybe not that word, but he begins to lead you and guide you into the will and the purposes of God. And at the word of the Holy Ghost on the inside of him, all he did was hear and obey. And when he obeyed, bam, 2 weeks later I'm saved. Was there anything in that Crisco special? It's cooking oil, people, to fry your chicken. It is the anointing that is on the word that you obey. There's no healing properties in Jesus' spit. There's no healing properties in the mud that he makes. But at the word of the Holy Ghost. Right? Bible says he was full of the Holy Ghost and power. That God had anointed him with the Holy Ghost and power, right? God has anointed Scotty when he got born again with the Holy Ghost and power, right? All you got to do is hear, see, and obey. That's it. So there's no healing properties in that. Jesus does this, and for this specific part, there's blind people all over the place. They're flocking to him, right? So much at one point, they're about to crush him. He can't hardly breathe. He gets healed. Why? Because it was the word of the Lord, word of the Holy Spirit to Jesus. And when you obey, the Holy Spirit does the work. Jesus said, it's the Father in me that does the works, right? Jesus himself, down here on the earth, came in the form of a man, did everything he did, just like me and you will have to do it. He used no special anything. Because if he did, then we could say, well, you're Jesus, and I'm not. And you'll never be able to say that to the Father. Well, go on to the next one, please, Beth. What is it, Mark 8? What is it, 22 through 25 maybe, whatever it is? All right, now here's another one. This guy's blind too. And he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him, and he besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. Why would he do that? He's led. And when he had spit on his eyes, now we left off right here last week. Y'all can take this however you want to. Most people would take this. This is Jesus. Jesus is savage. Glory to God. What do I mean by that? Nobody on the planet ever walked and lived by faith like him. And when you believe it, you don't just spit a little bit. You hock to a boy. The Bible says David ran at Goliath. He didn't tiptoe out there. He didn't, in fear. Why? He believed, you uncircumcised Philistine, God is going to give you into my hand today. Therefore, he ran. So when I read this, I can just see Jesus right now. Just call it a loogie. Why? He believes, he's led, that's exactly, and when you believe it, there is a boldness and a confidence, a knowing on the inside of you, and you ain't playing, and you hope everybody sees it. So it goes on, it says he spit right in his eyes. The man's blind, so he can't close them. Here it comes, right? Spit in his eyes, that would be both of them. It says, and put his hands upon him. He asked him if he saw aught, means anything. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. In other words, he couldn't see anything, but now he sees, but it's kind of blurry maybe. It says, after that he put his hands again upon his eyes, so we see he touched his eyes, and made him look up, and he was restored and saw every man clearly. Okay, go back to the first one. He spit, made mud, put it on his eyes. Right here, and I'm just going to make up some names, okay? This is where some would start the church of the First Independent Spit and Mud Church. Hear what I'm telling you. This is what Jesus done, so this is what our church is going to do. Then you get this one over here, they seen him do this. No mud. No spitting in your hand making mud. You just hocked to a right in his eyeballs. So now over here, since we seen him do this, now we're going to be the second so-and-so of spitting your eyeballs, church. See, the Bible says he gave the fivefold ministry till we all come into the unity of the faith. Not the division. This stuff is what has created the division. The lies of the devil. So now you got, oh, we believe in tongues in the baptism of the Holy Ghost, right? And we pray in them tongues. Glory to God. Then you got this and other. That was not for today. That was a one-time thing. Died out with the apostles. It is not for today. Division. Pharisee. Sadducee. Terrible. We have to lay all of this down and find the truth about this. There was no healing power in his spit, no healing power in the mud, no healing power in the loogies if that's what he spit. The power was in hearing God's voice and obey it. Just like the Crisco, when Scotty heard the voice of the Lord and he anointed everything he could think of to anoint. And it broke the power of darkness over my life. That's all that's going to do anything in any of us, in anybody, in any individual person, anybody, any church. Right? So we have to lay all this stuff down that we think we know. Because, Johnny, I'm finding the more I know, the more I find that I do not know. My, I can never know what he's going to tell me to do. But just know him. Know that voice. Follow that voice. And he will do signs, wonders, and miracles. Amen? So now, so we see the first independent church of the spitting mud makers. Right? Ain't that what some of them, I mean, can you see what I'm saying without just pointing out names of churches? That's not what we want, because that's not what's going to do it. And it's not the spitting, just plain spitting churches either. It's those that are led by the Spirit of God, Romans 8:14. These are the sons of God. So that tells me if I am a son of God, I've been born again, I am supposed to be led. God forgive us. Okay. Now the title this morning is The Truth, Part 3, His Will. Let's look at Matthew 4. Verse 1, I'm going to read this from the Amplified. It says, then Jesus was led. He was what? The Amplified says, guided by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness desert to be tempted, tested, and tried by the devil. Oh, hallelujah. A lot of people try to take the Word of God and use it for their own benefit. It will not work. They'll take that, so they'll want something, they'll want to do something. And they'll take that scripture over there where it says that all things are possible with God. All things are possible to those who believe. And they will stamp that on every single thing. It ain't going to work. Did you hear what I said? It's not going to work. Why is it not going to work? Because that scripture does not apply to everything. It's only the will of God that that scripture applies to. Whatever he tells you to do, that verse will work. Y'all way too quiet. Why? Because he supplies for whatever is in his will. He doesn't supply for what I want, what I desire. Come on now. I know the scripture says that he'll give you the desires of your heart. First, you are one with him. He puts his desires in you and they become yours. And he says, if you abide in me, John 15:7, and my word abides in you, then you will ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. He didn't say the first thing you got to do, he says, is you got to abide in me. Be vitally united with me in fellowship and communion. But Jesus prayed often. Sometimes spent all night long. So we can't just take the word of God to do our will. And that's how come a lot of times people have done, I have done it myself, and it didn't work and there was no results. But wherever his will is, Jesus told him, he said, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you would speak to this sycamine tree and it'll be plucked up by the roots and cast into the sea. You cannot take that and apply that to everything in your life. Because the first thing every one of us is going to want to do is do that to any kind of hardship. But remember the scripture he told Timothy, endure hardness, Timothy. What James said, the trying of your faith works patience. How do you interpret scripture? With other scripture. So see, you can't just take that verse out of context and take it and mean and do whatever you want to do with it. God was not created for us. We was created for Him, for His will and His purposes. The Bible says it is God that is working in each one of us both to will and to do of our good pleasure. Are you serious? That ain't the way I heard that. That ain't the way I want it. They told me if I'd come get saved, my life would be good. Oh, we better move on. So, the Holy Spirit led him right into trouble. If you're needing patience, the Holy Spirit's going to lead you right into it. Why? Because he's not so concerned about putting your little flesh under, he's concerned about you developing, you growing, you becoming more and more like him, you not having a microwave on all his promises that you get them just like that. Right? So sometimes the Holy Ghost will lead you right into trouble and you need to be discerning to know, is this the devil or is this the Holy Ghost? Because you can rebuke the devil, but you can't rebuke the Holy Ghost. Ask Scotty, he tried. When he brought that scripture up to him, he said, devil, I rebuke you. Took him a little while. He finally figured out it was the Lord, Johnny. Verse 2 says that, well, verse 1 said he was led by the Spirit of God and the Holy Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Verse 2, and he went without food for 40 days and 40 nights, and later he was hungry. Why would he do that? Okay. So he's not eating right. He's led into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit. He don't do anything unless he sees the Father do it or hears the Father say it. So he's already not ate for 40 days, right? So that tells me, excuse me, he's got something about don't eat, right? Or he'd be eating. Because, I mean, why do you get hunger pains? What's hunger pains tell you? Go get something to eat. He's got them, right? It says, and he was hungry. Okay. It goes on and it says, and the tempter came, we know that to be the devil, and said to him, if you are God's son, command these stones to be made loaves of bread. But he replied, it has been written, man shall not live and be upheld and sustained by bread alone, talking about natural food, but by every word that comes forth from the mouth of God. Stop here for just a second. Why would the devil tell him that? What the verses above it say? He's led by the Holy Ghost, right? He's in the wilderness. He's on a fast, right? What's the first thing he comes and says? Stop this fast. Don't obey the Lord. Oh, are you hearing what I'm telling you? And then go after the desire of your flesh. Is that not what he said? I mean, am I trying to read anything into this that's not here? What's the first thing you want? Listen, I have been defeated by a hot dog, and I don't even like hot dogs. Why? Because of that flesh. And he's telling him, prove who you really are. He's got no reason to prove anything. And God will not use his power to prove himself. He does what he does, and we have to believe. Right? So let's go on here. So he's trying to get him to act in the flesh. Go after the desires of your flesh. Verse 5. But Jesus told him, he said, my food is the spiritual things, right? The words of God that has the Christos, the anointing on them. Verse 5. Then the devil took him into the holy city and placed him on a turret pinnacle, gable of the temple sanctuary. And he said to him, if you are the Son of God, again, this second time, throw yourself down. Oh, here he comes with the word. Half-truth is an absolute lie. Truth quoted out of context is an absolute lie. Truth to twist for my own gain is an absolute lie. Ooh, y'all getting real quiet. If you a liar, stop it. The Lord will help you. Why? We got to be truth. He goes on and he says here, and he said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will give his angels charge over you, and they will bear you up on their hands, lest you strike your foot against a stone. Jesus said to him, now that was a fact what he said, right? But what's he saying? Come out. Be motivated by the flesh. Don't be led by the Spirit of God. Be led by your flesh. Be led by pride. Be led by your desire. Be led by people. Be led by pressure. Be led by anything, but not the Holy Ghost. He goes on here and he says, verse 7, Jesus said to him, on the other hand, or you could say, it's also written, devil. He says, it is written also, you shall not test thoroughly or try exceedingly the Lord your God. Again, the devil took him up on a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory, the splendor, magnificence, preeminence, and excellence of them. And he said to him, these things all taken together I will give you if you will prostrate yourself before me and do homage and worship me. I've heard people say, well, he didn't have that kind of, he didn't have the power to do that. Yes, he did. It was given to him in the garden, and if he didn't have that, then it couldn't have been a temptation to Jesus. So that's a lie. Right? He goes on and he says, then Jesus said to him, be gone, Satan. He called him by his name. He said, be gone, Satan, for it has been written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him alone shall you serve. Then the devil departed from him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. Now let's look at 1 John 2. This is the sum of temptation. You might say, well, you know, Jesus was never tempted to commit adultery because he didn't have a wife. Every temptation we're fixing to read the source of the temptation. You don't have to have a wife to be tempted to sin in certain areas. But Jesus said what? If you look upon a woman with lust desire in your heart, what? You committed adultery already. So Jesus could have done that, couldn't he? He didn't have a wife. Thank you, Lord. All right, 1 John chapter 2. I'm going to start reading in verse 15. This is an amplified version. Ain't it? Yeah. All right, he says, do not love or cherish the world or the things that are in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh. What is the lust of the flesh? Craving for sensual gratification. Wasn't that the first temptation he told Jesus? Jesus' senses, physical senses are telling him, eat. I'm hungry. Right? So that would be, gratify your strong desire. Jesus said, I will not. Why? Because this, he wasn't controlled and ruled by his flesh. He was controlled and ruled by the Spirit of God in him, right? So it says there, sensual gratification, and that can be anything that will gratify your senses in any way. He goes on and he says, and the lust of the eyes, what is that? The Amplified Bible says it's greedy longings of the mind. Greedy longings, or you could say strong desires of those things that you got in your mind. That could be all kinds of stuff, right? So that's the other temptation. He goes on and he says, and the pride of life. That's the devil's song himself, ain't it? He said, tells us what the pride of life is. Assurance in one's own resources or in the stability of earthly things. Did you hear what it said? Trust in something or someone to take care of you other than God. Ain't that what he told them out there when he sent them out? Don't take nothing with you. Why? What's he showing them? God will, my Father will take care of you. He will supply every need that you have to do his will. I'm talking about every need that I have to be a wife that God created me to be, that the Bible says in Genesis, I am the helper. I'm like the Holy Ghost, Johnny, so Samantha. Every wife is like the Holy Ghost. You are created by God to be the helper to your husband, to do whatever it is the will of God in his life to help him get that job done. Ain't that what the Holy Ghost does for us? I didn't say you are the leader, because you're not. I didn't say you're the guider, because you're not. You are not the teacher of your husband. But you are the helper. So all of these different temptations here. He says, trust in these. This is one of the reasons why money, we are told over and over in the Bible, guard yourself against covetousness. There's covetous people that has not one dime. It's not the money that's making them covetous, because they ain't even got none. That ain't got a penny, but that are so covetous for money and things that other people have. Then you've got other people, they have everything and they still covet more and more. Why? The flesh says nothing's ever enough. No matter how much you got. The Bible says, and I believe it's Timothy, he says, the root of all evil is the love. Hear what I said. Love, strong desire, trusting in money. Money is not good nor bad. It's the person. That's why God wants you to have your needs met in your personal life, in your business life. See, Johnny, me and you, we both need money to function here in the earth. But God's plan for your life and God's plan for my life is not directly exactly the same. Therefore, you're going to need things I don't need. I'm going to need things you don't need. And only God knows what both of us needs, and he will supply that in abundance to the full till it overflows. Why? Because there's going to be times that he tells us, give so-and-so this. Why? Because it is God supplying their need to accomplish the will of God. But the devil will come along and say, don't have none of that nasty money. Why? Why would he tell that lie? Don't want us to do the will of God. Because just like everybody listening to me by way of Facebook right now, and those listening to me on the internet in Israel and Canada, everywhere, all over the world, they're listening to me right now. It took money, greenbacks, to pay GoNetSpeed so I could be on the internet right now where they could hear. The devil don't want that, Sandy. Well, God would have took care of that. He does. Everything that is in His will for me to do the will of God, for you to do the will of God in your life, for you to do the will of God in your family, for us to do the will of God is the body of Christ. All around the world, He will supply it. But we must believe it. And see, He says, guard against covetousness, greediness, all this. He says, guard yourself. Mark 4, he talks about the pleasures of life, the deceitfulness of riches. So therefore, God must mean I ain't supposed to have none. That's a lie. I had a red truck one time. I really liked this. I never had nothing like this in my life, Johnny. I mean, and now, I mean, if you was to say it, you'd probably think, that? But when you go from taking a bath in the river and driving a truck, a 3-speed on the column, and if you don't do it just right, when you hit second gear, you stop, you get out, you raise the hood, you unhook it, because they keep getting hooked together, because you didn't do it just right. You close the hood, you get back, and you're on. It takes you an hour and a half on a 30-minute drive. And then half of the back bed is rusted out, so when you put watermelons in there, they're falling out and busting if you don't put wood in it. When you go, and I'm just reminded, and a car, you better find you a hill everywhere you go, because that thing, the battery is dead and it ain't got no reverse. I'm telling you. And beyond that, there was times of walking and taking a bath in the river. And you go from all of that to what I call this big. Dodge is set up high anyway, for some reason. I guess it's suspicious. You go from all of that to this big candy apple red, extended cab, Longhorn mirrors on it, honking truck, four-wheel drive, with your knobbies on them, you know, those all-terrain. Where if you want to hit the mud, you just do. Everybody can't do that. I just wanted to one time, Johnny. I took a rope and I hooked it to my ball on the back of my truck. And I hooked it to the tree in our yard. I just wanted to pull that tree up. I did. You go from what I said first to that. Oh, and they say I've always liked music and I like it loud. I mean wide open, just lay down, go to sleep. I'm serious. And Scotty buys me a boombox. Big old Pioneer speakers in this glass-like case thing or whatever, you know. It's got the lights when it boom, boom, boom. It's got the lights that goes along with it. Rockford Fosgate amp under my front seat. Kenwood stereo. I mean, we are maxed. I mean, you don't even hear me. You don't just hear me. You feel me when I'm coming down the road. I'm sitting at the red light, and my mirrors are going, I got leather seats, Johnny, and their armor all up. And Travis would go, and everywhere I go, I'm looking sounding good. But I'm not there yet. So everywhere I go, I'm feeling a certain kind of way. And it ain't a good kind of way. I want you to feel me when I'm coming so you can look and see me too. And I can't seem to get rid of that. And I know it's wrong, but I can't seem to stop it, to get it changed. So I said, okay, God. How many knows you got to grow to prosperity? That it don't change you. That you are willing, God, if you say give everything and every dime I have, I am a steward. It's yours. And it doesn't make you high-minded. And it doesn't change you. And I couldn't get that to stop. And I've got some high-mindedness and I got some feelings, the prideful feelings that I should not have. And I know they're wrong and I can't change them, seems like. So I told Scotty, and I said, "I want you to take me down there." I was going by one day, and I saw this little granny wagon sitting on the car lot of, what is that, Thompson Motors down there? Or it was his brother, whoever that was, the older brother. There's this granny wagon sitting down there on this car lot. What was that thing, a 96? 96 pewter, you say pewter, four-door granny wagon Buick with 33,000 miles on it. And when I opened the dash, little granny's gloves fell out of the glove box. Am I kidding? Nice car for what it was. But I'm hawking. And because I can't get this stopped and I can't get this changed, and I know this is wrong, and God, I love you more than I love this stuff. I paid $8,000. I gave them my truck, Johnny, plus $8,000 to get rid of that truck and take that car. Ain't nobody passed me much. I'm going along pretty good. But now I get that little granny wagon. The Pintos are passing me. And I'm going the speed limit. There's just something when you see it just makes you think you need to go around. And I use that. And I use that to humble myself before God. Because, see, God gave me the stuff, but I wasn't ready on the inside to be a good steward of that stuff and not let it change me. So I took all that and I laid it down at his feet to do his will. Johnny, I can drive whatever I want to drive. And I can pay cash for it. Do you know what I drive? I got to stop because time is up. You know what I drive? I know y'all probably seen a yellow streak because I was in a hurry this morning. But it is actually a yellow 2005 GMC Canyon that I have had for over 14 years. And there's nothing else that I want. When you grow and you develop to that place, God will let you have anything. Because your will is to do His will. And it doesn't have you. That was the exact problem with the rich young ruler. He didn't have stuff. Stuff had him. And Jesus said, go and give it all away and do what? Come follow me. I don't think he was telling him to take a vow of poverty. Because the Bible says if you give, it will be given. But what he was telling, the Bible says Jesus loved him. And then he told him, go sell everything you got. Come follow me. What's he saying? It'll cost you absolutely everything, Sandy, to do his will. But you will gain 100-fold in this life and eternal life. I got to stop because time is up. Does anybody have any questions or any comments or anything?